The Deputy Chief Constable, Judith Gillespie, has now said, and you will hear this interview in full in literally a matter of seconds, but the breaking news this morning is that the Deputy Chief Constable, Judith Gillespie, has said that there will be, in her view, an increase in officers seeking psychiatric help this year because of the extent of the violence. She has also acknowledged that the force is under strain. Let's just have a listen to this interview in full.
Well, first of all, Stephen, can I say I welcome the debates in public. I think it's right that people should be outraged whenever our police officers are injured, and especially in the numbers they've been injured in the recent months. So it's quite right there should be a public debate about this, because violence towards the police is just not acceptable. And so it's right we should be talking about this in public. And it's really unfortunate that society can become inured to police officers being injured. So it's right that we have this debate. In terms of the numbers of officers injured, yes, there have been a huge number, or hundreds injured over the last few months, and in fact over the protracted period of disorder that we've had in the last year. And it's right that they should have welfare support. And I have to say that in the Police Service of Northern Ireland, we have a world-class welfare facility that has both proactive and reactive support to officers. And so it's really important that they get the support they need, both at times of crisis, but also during the rest of the year when we want to promote a healthy workforce.
So when you say that it's right that there should be a public discussion about this, therefore the public need to have a sense of the extent of damage that is being done to police officers and the real pressure that they are under. So can you give me some of the numbers involved here? How many officers have sought psychiatric care for this year, for example?
Well, whilst hundreds of officers have been injured, I don't have the details of the numbers who have sought psychiatric help. But what I can say is that there hasn't been an increase in the number of officers seeking psychiatric help. But I would also say it's quite likely over the next weeks and months that we may see an increase, and we need to be prepared for that. But obviously,
well, what makes you say that? Why do you think there will be an increase?
Simply because of the strain that officers have been facing on the front line. And despite the fact that many who have sustained injuries have gone straight back onto the front line, they don't want to let their colleagues down and they want to do a professional job, of course there can be longer term psychological effects that are much more insidious, and we need to be prepared for that. And we have lots of experience of dealing with that as an organisation.
You see, there was trouble last year as well. Why do you think there will be an increase in police officers needing psychiatric care this year compared to last year?
Well, simply because, Stephen, we know that the trouble has gone on for such a prolonged period of time, and officers have been exposed to this for so many weeks and months now. So it hasn't just been a crisis that's been over a weekend or over a couple of weeks. This has been going on now since really last summer. And so that has a very insidious effect on people when they've been exposed to that for such a long time.
What type of pressure? What is it in terms of the psychology of this? What type of pressure is it putting on police officers? What do we mean by this?
Well, there's the constant physical threat of injury, being exposed to all sorts of missiles, fireworks, masonry, billiard balls, petrol bombs, etc.
Some people say that's part of the job.
That is never an argument that you should say that police officers should be prepared to expect that as part of their job. It's just not acceptable.
Some people said on this programme that they should be tough enough to be able to endure it. That's what some callers said.
Our officers are extremely professional, extremely courageous, and have been nothing more than excellent in the face of the most horrendous provocation and violence. And I think that needs to be recognised as well. In an age nowadays, Stephen, where people have mobile phone technology and cameras on their mobile phones, we all know that if there was anything other than sheer professionalism and restraint, it would be beamed worldwide in an instant.
You used the word...
The fact that none of that is on YouTube or on Facebook gives me the assurance that my colleagues have been nothing other than utterly professional.
You used the word crisis there. What is a crisis?
Well, at the moment, we have been facing a very long and prolonged period of disorder, which has sometimes turned into really serious disorder and at times simply the threat of it. That has gone on for a long period. And the focus at the moment is on policing, where actually the focus should be on what others are doing to prevent police officers being put in this horrific situation.
But what is the crisis?
The crisis is that there is a constant threat, or indeed an actual happening of serious public disorder. And that has gone on for many weeks now. And that needs to be dealt with not by police who are simply put there on the front line to prevent communities attacking each other. But it needs to be dealt with by our elected representatives and by communities themselves. Policing is not the long-term solution to this issue.
How do you know that there's been no increase in the number of officers needing psychiatric care if you don't know the numbers?
We know from our occupational health and welfare unit the type of help that our officers are seeking. And at the moment, there hasn't been an increase in that psychiatric referral. But that's not to say in the future that that won't happen, and we need to be prepared for that.
And are there people, if there hasn't been an increase, there are still officers needing psychiatric care? And one of the other valid questions, and it's an obvious question, that the public were asking, Judith, on this programme the other day, are officers who are receiving psychiatric care, are they still in work? Do they still have a weapon? What are the safeguards? Are they on the front line still because you're pushed for numbers?
There are lots of safeguards for officers who are on the front line and who are armed. And we have a number of safeguards that have been introduced as a result of experience. As I say, the PSNI and before the RUC has many, many years of experience dealing with this type of trauma and this type of stress.
But are there officers
receiving
psychiatric care on the ground, on the front line?
There are safeguards that would be based on medical advice and on the experience of supervisors. So please be assured that officers who are suffering from psychiatric issues would not be placed in a position where that would put the public or themselves in danger.
I was doing some reading over recent nights, and police officers in other parts of the United Kingdom, they have to have at least 11 hours rest in between shifts. That's not the case with your officers.
What we do is we plan to give officers at least one rest day if they're working for a prolonged period of long hours on duty. And I know that certainly in the last week, for example, all of our public order units have had at least one day off. And so we try and work on the principle of protecting their rest days and, of course, try and rotate the units so that not the same units are always on the front line.
But
and try and give them some rest. Even if they're working long hours, they have some lie-up periods where they may not be in the front line. But, you know, Stephen, at times when there are long hours required to be worked to keep communities safe, police officers are prepared to step up to the mark and work long hours.
The shift pattern rules are easier across the water, though, aren't they?
Well, we design our shift patterns to the demand that the organisation has to face. And we have to also bear in mind that at times of peak demand, it's not just our regular public order units that we stand up, but we also stand up what we call level 2 units, and they're composed of officers from right across the organisation. And the unfortunate thing is that whilst we stand up those level 2 units, the ordinary job that they would be dealing with, the road traffic collisions, the child protection, the drugs issues, the serious crime, that has to be set to one side whilst they're stood up to deal with this public
disorder. Just finally, and we've literally got one minute before we have to go, but can you just give me a summary? You say that you will not be surprised if the number of officers needing psychiatric care will increase. Terry Spence says that the force is now at breaking point. How tough is it at the moment? What point are we at?
I think the organisation is under strain. That's not in doubt. And that's why it's so important that we enter into negotiations with the Policing Board and the Department of Justice about future recruitment and future resources.
So is Terry Spence right? Do you need 1,000 more officers?
Well, we are seeking to recruit, and we know we've already announced that we're recruiting at least 100 officers, and we would hope in the next year to recruit a lot more than that.
Do you think you need 1,000?
I think any Chief Constable would welcome as many officers
as the
budget would allow them to have.
Need. If you're
under screen, say we need at the very least what we've got at the moment, and we would certainly be asking to maintain that and seeking to maximise our recruitment according to our budget next year.